The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food with your host, Lori Hibbard. Despite the vast amount of information about food and nutrition available, we continue to get sicker and fatter than we've ever been. Nutritional wellness starts with food, but we cover so much more. Now, here is Lori Hibbard.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food. I'm your host, holistic nutritionist, Lori Hibbard. In its simplest terms, nutritional wellness refers to the state of health, balance, and resiliency that is achieved through food. You are what you eat. So if you're eating well, you should be feeling well, right? Not necessarily. Our food gives us the energy, vitality, and health we require to do all the things we do, both consciously and unconsciously, on a daily basis. Of course, we get sick, injured, and run down. But if we're healthy, we should be able to bounce back because our bodies are designed to be in balance, which we also call homeostasis. Unfortunately, that's not what happens. For instance, you may be surprised to learn you've developed food allergies or that your weight has crept up by 15 pounds since your last checkup. You may be dismayed to hear you have high blood pressure or are considered pre-diabetic. You're shocked when you discover you've developed an autoimmune disease or cardiovascular disease. And of course, you're devastated when you receive a diagnosis of cancer. You're eating well and you're living well, or so you think. So how does this happen to healthy people? Over the years of teaching, observing, and counseling the principles of holistic nutrition, I've come to believe that what we eat is only a small part of what I refer to as nutritional wellness. Our bodies are complex systems, and as with any other system, there are many things that can go wrong which can impact our health. They can be caused by internal and external forces, some of which are within our control and some of which are not. There are yet other forces we can learn to recognize and control, and when we do, we can help our bodies return to a state of healthy balance. The focus of this show is sharing information and raising awareness about your own body and the forces that affect your nutritional wellness, because what you are is so much more than what you eat. Our show this week is entitled Life Without Sugar. A few years ago, a friend and I were talking about breakfast options and in particular, cereals. We agreed that although there seems to be miles of shelf space devoted to breakfast cereals at the grocery stores, it's pretty hard to find one that doesn't have added sugar. She remarked that she loved sugary cereals and that sugar would always be part of her life. That stopped me in my tracks. I suppose it's true for probably 99% of the population in North America, sugar will always be a part of our lives, especially if we eat out or eat processed foods. In fact, it's rather difficult to avoid sugar altogether, and that made me think, can there be a life without sugar? Now, when I'm speaking of sugar, I'm referring to added sugar, which is quite different from naturally occurring sugar that is found in fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains. Sugar, in some form or another, is in just about every processed food, from condiments to pizzas to beverages. Even the so-called health foods contain sugar, and we'll talk about several examples of that today. The Canadian Heart and Stroke Foundation recently recommended that we cut our daily intake of added sugars by up to half. We're being urged to reduce added sugar to no more than 10% of our total daily caloric intake, and ideally less than 5%. Now, that could be difficult to do for a couple of reasons. First, we'd need to know what our current daily caloric intake is, and most people probably have no idea what theirs might be. Second, added sugar goes by many names the average person probably wouldn't recognize, so even if we read food labels for ingredients, we may not even realize that added sugar is in there. So what are the problems with sugar? What are its effects on the body, both short-term and long-term? What are the alternatives to sugar and how do they affect the body? How can we comply with the recommendations of the Canadian Heart and Stroke Foundation? These are the questions we'll be looking at today. My guest today is holistic nutritionist and weight loss expert, Rachelle Wood, who spoke to us previously about emotional eating. Rochelle is a nationally award-winning young entrepreneur from Prince Edward Island. She recently relocated her 10-year private practice to Moncton, New Brunswick. As an author, teacher, mentor, lecturer, and recipe developer, Rochelle is changing the way Canadians eat. She has created a 52-week healthy living and weight loss program, See Results, which has helped her clients lose over 125,000 pounds within the past 7 years. She will be helping us today understand how and why we should reduce the sugar in our lives. Rochelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks so much for having me back, Lori. It's always a pleasure.
Let's get started right off the bat with the numbers that I mentioned in the introduction and what they mean. I assume the Heart and Stroke Foundation is basing their percentages on the Canada Food Guide recommendations for daily caloric intake. What is that figure? And then what does 5 and 10% of that look like?
Well, sure. Canada's Food Guide is generally based on a 2,400 calorie diet. And like you were saying, many Canadians aren't really savvy or aware of how many calories they're consuming in an average day. And when it comes to sugar, as stated, we have our naturally occurring sugars and our added sugars. And I think that's where we tend to get a lot of consumer confusion.
So if we're looking at calories, 10% of the 2,400, and that's different for men, women, children, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're looking at 10% of that, and what, so that's 240 calories from added sugar. What does that look like in terms of grams or teaspoons or tablespoons? How do you educate your clients about what they should be, you know, what number they should be looking at?
Well, when it comes to the numbers, I think it really depends on the quality and quantity of carbohydrates that they're eating in their diet. For example, an apple or a pineapple, fruits tend to have a higher sugar count naturally. So when it comes to the numbers, when we look at the fact that Canadians are eating 20 teaspoons of sugar a day, according to the study, and that we need to cut back to 12, the simplest solution to do that is to eliminate and or even limit our processed foods.
And so where do we get most of our added sugar from? Is it from processed foods? Beverages seem to be the big culprit.
Well, we all know that pop destroys health in many ways. And stating here that, you know, a can of Coke contains 10.5 teaspoons of sugar, and that's 355 milliliters. So pop definitely is the biggest culprit for added sugar in our diets. Another example could be yogurt, granola bars. Even some of these foods that are marketed to be healthy tend to contain different types of sugars. And that's when, you know, our digestive system really suffers, and that extra sugar tends to promote obesity, which is another growing problem amongst Canadians.
Okay, so that's a nice segue into the next topic is, let's talk briefly about the effects of this excess sugar on our body. We've always known that sugar is bad for our teeth. I mean, we've known that since we were kids. But let's do a quick overview of some of the other obvious or well-known effects it has on our health. And I know we'll talk about more of these as we get further into our topic today. But can you list off some of the big problems that sugar has on our bodies?
Well, of course, the overconsumption of sugar promotes obesity, and of course, within my nutritional consulting practice, helping those with their weight struggles is my specialty. However, blood sugars are also affected by increased sugar within our daily diets. It elevates cholesterol and triglyceride levels, so we have some problems with cardiovascular disease. And sugar has also really been in the news lately for affecting mental health and, of course, promoting mental illness. So there's many different body systems that we can look at when we're talking about sugar and how it destroys health.
And in terms of fat, I mean, there's subcutaneous fat and visceral fat that's around our organs. Is sugar implicated in both, or more so one than the other?
When it comes to sugar, we know that sugar is digested within our body systems, and most importantly, it goes down to the liver and how things are broke down in the liver. So when I see an accumulation of sugar in a client's diet, I'm always thinking about their liver health, their cardiovascular systems, and, of course, eliminating as much of it as possible.
Mm-hmm. And it's also known that sugar can promote overeating. And I guess part of that is because of the addictive nature of sugar. And I'd like to talk further about that later in the show. But and because you also deal with emotional eating, you have mentioned in the past that sugar is certainly implicated in emotional eating.
Well, most definitely. I mean, we're reaching to the sugar, we're reaching to the cookies for that quick fix of energy. But unfortunately, we have the crash afterwards, leading us to crave more and more and more of that high-like feeling. So within my nutritional consulting practice, I do consider sugar highly addictive and educate my clients to avoid it at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Now, some other effects of sugar, I think, are that, and people don't know this, but it tends to feed cancer cells. It promotes the growth of cancer cells.
Well, definitely. Sugar is one of the most inflammatory foods we eat as well, which is going to play havoc on our immune system. And, of course, could affect the likelihood of us developing cancer.
Yeah. And it's also known to be a trigger for migraines, which is something that I deal with. And yes, I'm a sugar person. Chocolate.
You're also a runner though, Lori. So
yes, that's true.
In my practice, I deal with a lot of runners who tend to like their sugar. But of course, learning how to minimize their sugar and maybe carbohydrate load properly for race days and all that.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I mentioned was that sugar goes by so many aliases. So when people are reading labels, they may not even realize that some things are sugar. Can you give us some? I know you give your clients a big long list of sugars, but where can people find these lists like that? What are some of the names?
Well, for example, anything that ends in an ose in chemistry is a sugar. So that would be sucrose, fructose, maltose. Anything like a syrup, such as a maple syrup, a bran syrup, a rice syrup, cane sugar, caramel coloring tends to be another word for sugar. Molasses, honey, the list can go on and on.
Yeah. And the other issue, I think, is label confusion. Can you briefly describe to us some of the issues that we have with labeling, the lack of standardization and so forth?
Well, I think the most confusing part for food labels for the average consumer is the sugar content. So if we're looking at our percentages and we see sugar in a product, naturally we're going to think, oh, I probably shouldn't be eating this. However, products from the dairy category have naturally occurring lactose, which is, of course, a milk sugar, and that is a healthier sugar for us. So when it comes to labels, we really need to emphasize and educate our clients about added sugars versus naturally occurring sugars. And dairy products are a prime example of that.
Perfect. Rochelle, we're going to take our first commercial break. Mm-hmm. You are listening to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food, and our guest today is Rochelle Wood. When we return, we'll take a closer look at the effects that sugar has on the body.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you or someone you love struggle with Alzheimer's disease or some other disorder? Many times, there is not an adequate support forum where you can learn from and discuss topics from top guest experts. Tune in to Neuromatters, The Brink of Alzheimer's with Dr. Sam Brinkman. Although thought of as a disease that affects only older individuals, increasingly, symptoms are being found in people who are in their 40s and 50s. Get the answers. Neuromatters airs live Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness. You read about it in health news every day.
Cancer rates are going up. Obesity in the U.S. is on the rise. Heart disease and diabetes are top killers every year.
We can follow the advice of our doctor, but cravings persist. Weight goes up and energy is still down. It doesn't have to be like this. Tune in for Body Balance Talk with your host, Jeannie Schmidt, along with Lucy and Madeline. You'll learn how you can work with your body to feel better and look better, too. Body Balance Talk airs live every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
How many times have you heard this?
I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired.
You are what you eat.
I've tried every diet.
Diets don't work.
It's time to stop this kind of madness and start thinking and feeling empowered to change your health. Tune in to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. Join us weekly for thought-provoking conversations with world-renowned experts in the food, medical, holistic, sports medicine, chiropractic, and naturopathic health sciences. The Raw Truth airs live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food. Lori would love to hear your questions and comments regarding the show. Please send your emails to info@lightenupwithlori.com. That's info@lightenupwithlori.com. Once again, here's Lori Hibbard.
Welcome back to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Today's topic is sugar, and we're speaking with weight loss expert Rachelle Wood. Rachelle, in the introduction, I alluded to the fact that sugar is everywhere you look. It's insidious. Can you talk to us a little more about where it's found, the processed foods, the beverages, and so forth?
Sure. So I always use the example of yogurt in my practice. And with yogurt, we have the naturally occurring lactose, which is the natural sugar from dairy products. But we also have fructose. We have sucrose, and some yogurts now are sweetened with stevia. We also have ones that are sweetened with Splenda. So there's a lot of label confusion, and consumers really need to learn not only to read the numbers, but also to look at their ingredient lists. So for example here, plain yogurt would have a count of 6 grams. Whereas one sweetened with Splenda would have a count of 9. One sweetened with sugar and fruit would have a count of 20 grams. So when you're looking and comparing, a lot of consumers think that the one with the lowest gram of carbohydrates and or sugars is healthiest, and that's not always the case considering the fact that they're artificially sweetened. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to yogurt, plain is best, and then adding your own fruit to it to get rid of that sucrose. So instead of buying strawberry-flavored yogurt, I encourage my clients to buy plain and add their own strawberries. And then you're getting rid of the sucrose or the added sugars.
Right, and you're using your fruit as a sweetener, and you're in control of how much you put in there. And I think people's palates are, they get used to it. You know, they're so used to the sweetened sugar or yogurt that to have plain yogurt and sweeten it themselves with berries, it's just a matter of getting used to it.
It really is. And that's one of the simple changes I encourage all of my weight loss clients to make in the first week. If they were eating fruit-flavored, sugar-flavored yogurts, I tell them that those are not allowed on program. They might switch to the plain. And after a month, they don't even complain about not having the sweetened yogurt. They really like the plain, and it's because their taste buds become adjusted.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And what about those beverages? We talked about pop, but there's also the fruit juices and vitamin water and so forth.
Well, vitamin water is one of the most marketed products out there for the healthy consumer, which really isn't that healthy at all. I mean, if we look at it, it's pop without carbonation. Really.
Yeah.
Not only does it have a lot of added sugar, but it also has different food colorings and food dyes, which we know are harmful for our health. So vitamin waters are not something I encourage for any of my clients. Or even those squirtable or powdered artificial sweeteners like the Crystal Lights or the Mio's.
Right.
Those are definitely not allowed either if you're looking to have a healthier lifestyle.
And sports drinks are particularly bad. You know, just in terms of the carbohydrates, you know, you can make your own sports drinks and put the things in it you need. If you're just looking for hydration and electrolyte replacement, you can do that. If you're looking for carbohydrates, you can get that from food, or you can make your own smoothies or juices.
Well, coconut water really is, I think, the best source of electrolytes for athletes. And when I'm doing sports nutrition with clients, that tends to be what I recommend. And there's so many different sport drinks on the market, energy drinks on the market. And if people realize that they're completely unnecessary and that food really should be their primary source of fuel for their body or for their sport.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we've mentioned some of the long-term effects that sugar has on the body, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. But let's change our focus to the short term. What is the immediate effect that sugar has on the body?
Well, I think sugar, the effects of inflammation are noticeable in most people. And that's when we eat a product containing a lot of sugar, we tend to feel a little bit of a creak in our joints and in our knees. And long-term effects of sugar in the body definitely promote diseases of the autoimmune system.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to note that inflammation is really one of the biggest problems with excess sugar consumption.
Yeah, and I mean, you hear these things tossed around about how it affects or depletes your immune system. You know, a teaspoon of sugar can work on your immune system for, you know, 30 minutes or an hour or something. But there are studies that show what effect it does have on the immune system for a certain period of time.
And also,
if we're eating sugar continuously throughout the day in various forms, it just means that it is suppressing our immune system all the time.
Oh, and it just keeps multiplying, and also it robs us of energy. I mean, when we eat a candy bar and we have that high rush of sugar and then we crash shortly after, you know, it's really hurting our health in so many different ways. Our metabolism is affected there, as well as just our energy levels in general. So chronic fatigue and sugar consumption can often go hand in hand.
And mood. That's a big one too, is the sugar spikes and crashes. And oh my goodness, we see that with children, you know, when they have sugar, it just hits them so suddenly, and the mood changes can be almost instantaneous. So what is happening in the body when you consume sugar? What is the role of insulin?
Okay. So insulin is actually a hormone. And what insulin does in the body is insulin resistance. Well, there's insulin and then there's insulin resistance. So insulin resistance is when cells fail to respond to normal functions of the hormone insulin. And this can lead to conditions like hyperglycemia, which affects mood, it affects energy levels, and so on.
So insulin itself, its role is to shuttle the glucose that's in the blood into the cells. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So how do we control that? You know, if we're talking about insulin resistance,
the
body just isn't listening, or the insulin isn't responding the way it's supposed to, and that can become a problem, as you mentioned.
Well,
so what can we do to control that, to help the insulin?
Well, in general, the more fiber we can consume, the slower the insulin is released, and the more controlled our blood sugars tend to be. So I think a high fiber diet is one of the ways that we can control insulin levels, as well as making sure that we're eating the right amount of dietary protein.
Mm-hmm. So protein with every meal?
Protein with every meal and snack, and protein can be found in many sources. It isn't just animal. It could be bean, nut-based, and so on. So one of the easiest ways to control insulin is to make sure that we're snacking correctly and also at the right times of day. So controlled, regular scheduled eating is a great way to control your insulin levels.
Now, people quite often experience the mid-afternoon slump. And is that, how do you explain that to people?
Well, I always tell my clients who complain about that 3 o'clock sweet attack, I always make them look through their consumption for the day prior to 3 o'clock to see where they're getting their protein, where they're getting their fiber. Are they eating enough? Did they eat white pasta at lunchtime? So looking at what you're eating prior to that 3 o'clock time can tell you why you're crashing. And usually it's lack of protein.
And starting your day with breakfast is also so important because it sets, if you're fasting through the night, then your blood sugar is low in the morning. And if you're not feeding yourself first thing in the morning, that's a problem.
Well, definitely. We need to turn our bodies on just like we would turn a car on. And it's very important to eat breakfast to turn on your metabolism for the day. It gets your blood sugar working. It gives you the energy that you need. And people that eat breakfast on a regular basis do have improved metabolism and, of course, tend to achieve a healthier weight faster.
Okay. Let's talk about the glycemic index and how that is different from the glycemic load.
So the glycemic index is basically food's effect on a person's blood sugar levels. And the glycemic load is more a food number that estimates how much food raises a person's blood glucose after eating it. And to determine your glycemic load, it's a great way, the way to do that would be to take the gram of carbohydrates, times it by the glycemic index value, which is a ranking system, and divide that by 100. So foods that are in the glycemic index on the lower side should be the carbohydrates that we're consuming more often.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to completely switch tacks here, let's talk about the addictive nature of sugar. And we may have to come back to that after the break, but let's just get started about that. So what is the effect that sugar has on the brain and our hormones?
Sure. So sugar is definitely an addictive substance. And we can see that when we eat a chocolate bar, when we have that crash, we just tend to crave it and want more of it to give our body that false sense of energy. We know that sugar has no nutritional value whatsoever, other than the fact that it tends to give us that fake energy. And that's really the addictive properties. Our body's searching that high over and over and over again. So again, sugar can be quite addictive, and consumers are being addicted to it without even, you know, enough education or knowledge. Sometimes we think we're eating something healthy like a granola bar, and we can see if we read our ingredients list that there's four different types of sugar in the bar. So consumers really, really need to learn how to read labels correctly if they are buying processed or prepackaged foods. But to the most part, bringing your own snacks, packing a lunch, doing these little things to help improve their health and wellness so that they're not going out and picking up the 3 o'clock sweet or the candy bar. Being prepared, I think, is the key to eliminating sugar from your diet.
Yeah, I completely agree with that statement. And knowing what it is you're having and being able to make sure you've got the right combination of carbohydrates and proteins and fats together. But that often takes some help from people like you and me.
Well, you know, it's true. There's so much confusion out there. I really do think that the average adult, a child, a human being could use the help of a holistic nutritionist just because of so much consumer confusion.
Right. We're going to take another commercial break. And when we return, our guest, Rochelle Wood, will talk to us about the different types of sugars and sweeteners and give us her rundown of which ones are better choices. Stay tuned.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you ready for a real, fact-based show about alternative and natural approaches to health? Listen for Live Healthy, Be Healthy with Drs. Jim and Janine Fox. We're not about the latest health fads. We're about proven methods from real patients and real situations. Each week's show is an eye-opening look behind the scenes of real health. Live healthy, be healthy. Can be heard live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Every day, you hear so much about different aspects of the health and wellness field. One day, you hear one thing, and the next day, you hear something that contradicts what you heard the day before. How do you know what's right? Try tuning in to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Our goal is to educate and explore this field with guest experts in order to help you take control of your health and well-being. Listen Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food. Lori would love to hear your questions and comments regarding the show. Please send your emails to info@lightenupwithlori.com. That's info@lightenupwithlori.com. Once again, here's Lori Hibbard.
Welcome back to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food, and our guest today, holistic nutritionist and weight loss expert, Richelle Wood. Our topic today is sugar. Richelle, you've already spoken a little bit about the different types of sugar, but let's go into that a little further and see what they are and how they affect the body.
Great.
So would you like to start with glucose or sucrose or glucose, fructose? Where would you like to go?
All those oses. And we know in chemistry, os means sugar. And I always teach that to my clients in the beginning of our program. So sucrose, of course, is refined sugar. That's the one that we really, really want to stay away from, sucrose. Sucralose, for example, is the chemical name for Splenda. So we can see that there is an OL and an OSE within that. So when we're reading labels and we see sucralose, that's an artificial sweetener. When we're reading a label and we see sucrose, that's the refined sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Fructose, of course, we know is the naturally occurring sugars which are found in fruit. And high fructose corn syrup, of course, is a sugar that we as holistic nutritionists are encouraging our clients to stay away from. But unfortunately, it's in 80% of the food at the grocery store.
Wow, 80%.
Of processed and prepackaged foods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And high fructose corn syrup, of course, is derived from corn. It's not derived from sugar cane. And we know not only is corn, does it spike insulin levels, but corn is also usually genetically modified.
Right.
And I'm seeing, you know, so many links here to inflammation in clients who have a diet full of high fructose corn syrup. Of course, they have problems with their liver. They could have fatty liver disease and so on. So there's many different kinds of sugars out there, and recommending alternatives and healthier alternatives is what I teach to my clients.
Okay. So when you say that high fructose corn syrup raises triglycerides, can you explain how that happens in the body?
Well, it comes down to a hormone called leptin, and leptin levels tend to regulate our appetite. And if we're eating an excessive amount of sugar in the body, it's really disrupting our cardiovascular health from a digestion and insulin point of view.
Mm-hmm. So it raises the triglycerides, which are fats in the blood.
Yes.
So that's the problem there. Okay. And what about sugar alcohols? I think that's something that's relatively new, and consumers aren't very aware of what they are, how they're made, and how they affect the body.
Well, yeah, so sugar alcohols quite often end in OL. So again, when we're reading those ingredients lists, especially when it comes to all these products for diabetic health now, or for example, Russell Stover's chocolates have a whole sugar-free line now full of sugar alcohols. And one thing that I warn my clients about with sugar alcohols is that they have a laxative effect on the body. So if they were to, say, binge and overconsume on a sugar-free product containing these sugar alcohols, it's really going to hurt their elimination.
Okay. So the names for some of these sugars, like xylitol, is that what okay.
Yeah, so xylitol, mannitol, sorbitol, mannanol, lactalol, these are all our sugar alcohols. And again, I do encourage my clients to stay away from all of these.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about stevia?
So stevia is a natural sugar alternative. And stevia is actually a herb that's native to South America. And it's 300 times sweeter than sugar by taste. It's been used as a sweetener for centuries in South America and Japan. And actually, at one time in Japan, Diet Coke was made from stevia.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Now, the problem with stevia is that it's hard to bake with. So quite often, we buy stevia with a bulking agent called inulin or chicory in order to give us the exact measurements for baking. Mm-hmm. So stevia, because it's so strong and concentrated, it is definitely a little goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stevia has no calories and no carbohydrates, so it definitely is safe for diabetic or weight-conscious consumers.
So it doesn't affect blood sugar levels?
No.
Okay, good to know. Now, another topic that's dear to your heart, artificial sweeteners. What can you tell us about artificial sweeteners?
So artificial sweeteners are just poison for the bloodstream. And, you know, when you preach that to a client and say, you know, this is poison that you're ingesting in your body, the artificial sweetener doesn't satisfy your body. Your body's going to be craving the real sugar. So a lot of people will notice if they drink that Diet Pop, well, they're craving a candy bar to go with it. The reason being is because their body's not satisfied. It's been tricked, and it wants the real sugar taste and effect on the body, hence going out and getting something with sugar afterwards. So artificial sweeteners destroy health in many, many ways, as we've already listed at the beginning of the show, and they can also be quite addictive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you have your favorite type of sweeteners to talk to people about. And as holistic nutritionists, we're always talking about good, better, best, because people say, well, you know, I'm not having sugar. At least I'm having this instead of it. But there may be some better choices. So can you talk to us about what you recommend to your clients, what this over that, and why?
Well, sure. So stevia, as we've already talked about, is definitely my number one suggestion for clients. So say those clients who have a hard time swallowing the plain yogurt, I suggest putting, you know, a few little granules of stevia into their yogurt to sweeten it up. Mashed fruit is something that I used a lot, such as applesauce, mashed bananas, pineapple. Those things can really sweeten our foods without adding sugar. Now, another one that I tend to recommend a lot in practice would be the coconut palm sugar. And coconut sugar is the sap from the coconut palm, and it's heated to evaporate the water content and then reduced into granules. So coconut sugar is nutritious and has a low glycemic index, which of course makes it a healthier alternative. It tastes similar to brown sugar. So I find that it's great to add on top of oatmeal or even in yogurt if someone needs something sweetened. So coconut palm sugar is another one of my suggestions.
And is it about the same sweetness as sugar? You can use it just straight across for sugar as a replacement in baking and so forth?
I find cup for cup with the coconut sugar, it is. I might reduce it by a third because, of course, my palate doesn't crave the sweet. However, if someone was accustomed to eating a lot of sugar in the diet, probably cup for cup. So for baking, coconut sugar would definitely be a healthier alternative. Now, there's honey, there's agave, there's molasses, there's maple syrup. There's so many different things out there. And educating clients to just generally try not to add any of these things is always best. But adding a natural alternative such as stevia, the pureed fruit, or the coconut sugar would be my suggestions.
And I think the other thing, too, is, as you say, to start reducing it by a little bit, even like if you're baking something that calls for a cup, to put in 3/4 of a cup. Actually, I was talking to a friend about that yesterday. She always tries to do that with her husband, and he says, oh, it's just, it's awful, it's not the same. But she did it for him over the weekend, and she didn't tell him that she reduced it. And she says, how was that? And he said, oh, that was fine. That was good. He didn't even notice. So, you know, we just have expectations of what it's going to be. So you mentioned agave syrup. What can you tell us about that? Because it's been in the press lately about, you know, whether it's healthful or not.
Well, you know, even Dr. Oz recently changed his statement about agave. And you know when Dr. Oz, you know, refinishes his words and takes them back and then republishes them, that there's been an issue or a new study finding. So basically, the problem with agave is that agave contains fructose.
Okay.
And that fructose is harder for the body to digest. Again, the liver can only digest the fructose. So it tends to just increase our glycemic load. So the truth about agave is that it's really not as healthy because of the high fructose content.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So short of completely eliminating added sugars from our diets, and I think that's nearly impossible for most of us to do, how can we control our blood sugar levels? What are your ideas for some savvy snacks, for example, that can help us to control our blood sugar levels?
Well, I think anything outside of a box is going to generally help us control our blood sugar levels. So thinking about getting creative in the kitchen again, using nuts and seeds, a good source of protein, of essential fatty acids, and fiber. So, I mean, that's the perfect complement to a piece of fruit, which tends to have a higher glycemic index. So quite often in my practice, I'll recommend, you know, 10 almonds and an apple as a snack. Maybe I'll recommend a white rice cake with some hummus on it. Of course, hummus being made from beans, it has fiber, it has protein, and the white rice cake would have a higher glycemic index. So therefore, when you add the protein and the fat to that, it tends to make your blood sugar more stabilized.
And I think it's good to point out that fat is also something that helps to satisfy. So if we're having, you know, if someone is having just a rice cake with nothing else, it's not terribly satisfying at all because we need more than that to, well, for one thing, they're pretty boring. But the added fat and having some protein, so, you know, something like a natural peanut butter on it really does make a difference for helping to satisfy us.
And I know most of my weight loss clients, when they begin the program, I call them fat phobic, meaning that they're scared to eat fat because they've been trained in weight loss paths to eliminate fat, to lose fat. And we know as holistic nutritionists, that's really not the case. If we want to lose weight, eliminating sugar is number one. And after that, the weight can magically disappear because we're eliminating the culprit, and that's sugar.
Right. Okay, we're going to take one more commercial break. You're listening to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food with our guest today, Rochelle Wood. When we return, Rochelle will share her ideas for surviving the holiday season. So stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections featuring Dr. Adam Rubinstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubinstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food. Lori would love to hear your questions and comments regarding the show. Please send your emails to info@lightenupwithlori.com. That's info@lightenupwithlori.com. Once again, here's Lori Hibbard.
Welcome back. Today we're speaking about sugar and how it affects us. With the holiday season just around the corner, I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to talk a little about how to handle the issue of both sweets and overeating at this time of year. We always think about January as being the time to lose weight and get back on track, but really the time before that is just as important. Rochelle has written a book specifically about this called Rochelle Wood's Holiday Survival Guide, a collection of stay-on-track tips and healthy holiday recipes. Tell us how we can stay on track during this holiday season. And I know, Rochelle, that it's more than just about the food.
Well, yeah, it's more about the food. And Christmas tends to be one of those holidays where we tend to overindulge in food for many days in a row, hence hurting our waistline. And I think the key to staying on track over the holiday season is to have a plan and stick to it. Know where you're going for your events and parties. Get to know what the menu's going to be or bring something healthy yourself. So Christmas doesn't have to be about sweets. It could be about trying different types of food. It could be about, trying some baking substitutions with honey or the coconut sap sugar and emphasizing healthier choices. This day and age, we are all educated as into what healthy is and that we should be minimizing our sweets and our pops and things like that. So going to a sociable and bringing something healthy is a first place to start. So I encourage my clients to bring things like hummus and vegetables. That would be a great snack. Maybe a cheese tray with some whole grain crackers on the side. Eliminating all of the sugary drinks, focusing on a nice chai tea or a herbal tea, and eliminating or limiting their alcohol intake will also help decrease the sugar over the holidays.
I think that the alcohol is a big part of it for a lot of people. They feel obliged to, if they're at a party, to have a drink in their hand. And it doesn't have to be an alcoholic drink. And nobody needs to know whether it is or not. I mean, if you've got, a glass of club soda or if you're having a white wine spritzer, people don't know how much you're drinking. And if you keep topping it off with more club soda and you've got a twist of lime in it or something, nobody will know. They don't need to know.
And you can actually cut your sugar intake from that glass of wine in half by adding half club soda and making it a spritzer. So you have something fuzzy, you have something in your hand, and you feel like more part of the party. But herbal teas, making even a malt cider without the sugar, using honey or maple syrup in your cider, there are so many things we can do if we just think outside the box and try to plan appropriately. This day and age, quite often our guests, we have diabetic guests, we have gluten intolerant guests, we have people that can't digest dairy products showing up. So proper planning for the holidays will help not only you, but your guests stay on track too.
When you mentioned a vegetable tray with hummus, that has become my go-to. When I'm going out or if I'm entertaining, I always have a big, big tray of vegetables. And you know, it always goes because there's always somebody who is looking for, they want to stay away from the sweets or the high fat, you know, the stuff that you have to heat up in the oven that has sugar or not sugar, but, you know, pastry and that sort of stuff. They're looking for an alternative and everybody goes to the vegetables, and that's just my go-to right now. It's the only appetizer I ever set out.
Well, it's always a hit, Lord. I mean, you don't have to worry about it or really do much planning or preparing. It's wonderful. You know, we can keep food so simple and flavorful and still be satisfied with our taste buds. We don't need to think about going above and beyond. A traditional Christmas dinner, you know, doesn't need to be full of rolls and biscuits and gravy. You know, we can decide to make healthier choices, not just for us, but our entire family, and be a good example. And that's what I teach my clients in practice, is how to be a good, healthy example for the others in your life. And of course, Christmas dinner is a great way to challenge yourself to that.
Mm-hmm. I think too, if you've been invited out for dinner, to bring something that's healthy so that you know of all the things that are going to be offered, you've got your specific go-to that you can load up on. So you're bringing your favorite vegetable dish. And that is part of setting a good example too.
Well, exactly. And there's a lot of holiday and office Christmas parties coming up now too. And actually just this morning in my inbox, one of my clients sent me the menu for her Christmas party. That's of course catered, and she wanted to know what she could eat. So we can educate ourselves in advance to these events to help us stay on track, and asking the restaurant or the caterer for the menu can really help you stay on track with your diet.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing to keep in mind when you're going to a party like that and you don't know, if you have no idea what's going to be served, is to make sure that you don't go there hungry. So eating something, that's part of planning, is eating something before you go there so you can sort of pick at your meal, or if they're having appetizers, you can pick one or two or something without feeling ravenously hungry, because you get in the situation, you see what everybody else is eating and everything looks so attractive that you're drawn to it, whether you're hungry or not.
And I know here on the East Coast, one of the most popular appetizers, of course, are seafood-based. And I'm so fortunate to live in the Maritimes. I just love our lifestyle here. And, you know, I know it wouldn't be Christmas in my family without things like scallops and mussels and enjoying seafood and not just the sweets.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking to a landlocked Albertan here, so it would be wonderful if we could have that.
Sorry, I don't eat beef, Lori. But that's just me. Other people can.
I think another aspect of the holiday season is our expectations and traditions and our moods and family. You know, there's so many other things that are brought into it that conspire to make it difficult for us to stay on track during the holiday season.
Well, I think about, you know, when it comes to things like sweets, like when I think of Christmas and my family, my personal family, I think of Mom's peanut butter balls. And peanut butter balls are not something that you can make in a healthier way, because we've tried. And, you know, Mom's way anyway, Mom's authentic recipe. So what I suggest, or what I do myself, is Mom makes peanut butter balls. I see them 3 or 4 times before the holidays even start. I choose to have a peanut butter ball on Christmas Day, because I said no to it at, you know, the 4 previous times that they were put out at an event or a gathering. So I always educate clients to decide what's going to satisfy them when it comes to a treat, and then eat it on Christmas Day. So rather than treating yourself, you know, the 2 weeks prior, treat yourself on Christmas Day. That way it really is well-deserved.
And enjoying it, instead of feeling guilty about it, to savor it. You know,
yes.
You've made the conscious decision, you've held off until this particular time. So eat it and enjoy it. You know, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to throw you completely off track, but do it very consciously and mindfully.
Well, and the way to do that is to look at that sweet tray and say, okay, there's 5 different types of sweets here. this one will satisfy me, so I'll try that one instead of trying all five.
Yes.
So again, putting boundaries in place and sticking to it and being proud of your healthy food choices.
I think another part of it is having the people around you, especially if you're going to be spending the holiday season with family, make sure that they're aware and that they can support you in it as well. So they're not, you know, continually pushing the sweet tray under your nose after a big meal and trying to get you to eat more.
Well, exactly. And, you know, we have a voice. We're allowed to use it. We're allowed to decide what we put into our own bodies. That is our responsibility. And we can make healthier choices and be a good example for other people. And that's really something that I pride myself on over the holidays and also teach to my clients the same.
Rochelle, thank you so much for joining us today. I'd like for you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you to get a copy of your book and to sign up for your programs and offerings.
Yeah, sure, Lori. So, of course, my holiday survival guide is available via ebook as well as a print edition. And if anyone wants to request more information, they can pop me an email to rachellewoodnutrition@gmail.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori.
I hope you, my guests will join us next week when we'll be talking about the science of aging with my guest, Bruce Grierson, author of What Makes Olga Run. Until then, simplify your eating, nourish your spirit, and enrich your life. Have a great day. Thanks, Rochelle.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you so much for joining Lori Hibbard this week. Be sure to tune in for another edition of Nutritional Wellness Beyond Food next Wednesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel for a better understanding of your good health.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.